With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. It's another episode of Glamour. Hey, it's okay. Coming to you from the Glamour Pod cupboard at Glamour Towers. I'm Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour. And today I'm joined by our social media editor, Kat Brown, and the wonderful actress, Charlotte Riley. And there's going to be just too much truth. Are you ready? And you've made it to another Tuesday, at least. I hope that you are enjoying us on a really horrible commute, forgetting everybody else around you who probably smells. Hi, Kat Brown.
Oh, hi, Jo Elvin. Just checking I'm not smelling there.
And welcome, actress extraordinaire. You know her from Peaky Blinders and soon from King Charles III. It's Charlotte Riley.
Yay!
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very good. I've just had a really, really, really great cup of tea, so I'm feeling grand.
Do you know, yes.
It's an important, it's an important thing, tea.
That cup of tea was made for you by my assistant, lovely Anna. And my rule at Glamour is I don't make anybody a cup of tea and I don't ask anyone to make me a cup of tea because I don't even trust myself to make a decent cup of tea sometimes.
Oh, it can be a really controversial subject, can't it?
Yes.
Brewing length, sugar, yeah. bag in, bag out.
Yeah, I mean, we did have, Kat and I know each other from back in the day, university.
Way back, isn't it? How long now? Like
way
16
back.
Years?
Oh, it's longer than that, isn't it?
They shared a room, everybody.
It feels like literally a long-lost family spin-off, but with university roommates.
I think it's 18 years, Kat.
Oh, my God.
So I think for the benefit of the Glamour podcasting audience, you better explain the whole deal.
The whole deal was that Charlotte and I went to St. Cuthbert Society, which is a college in Durham, and Durham is split up into all these different colleges, and some of which have luxurious rooms, and some of which, like Cath, sort of pair you up in twos and sometimes threes and so on. So Charlotte was my roommate, and I was thinking about this on this morning, because I was thinking about all the things that you introduced me to, and the two major ones that I remember is DKNY perfume.
Really?
Yes.
Great.
And you had a bottle and I thought it was delicious and eventually you let me have it, which is incredibly kind.
I think DKNY is, it's such a gateway perfume, isn't it? It's everybody's first perfume.
Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, and a lot of people might not know this about you because obviously acting and playwriting so much more now, but Charlotte is a fantastic artist. And I remember once I was coming back from probably having spent all my money on booze in the bar. And Charlotte was like, oh, so my life drawing society is looking for models. And if you're up for it, you can come and do it for a couple of hours on a Wednesday evening. And that was the start of my life modelling career,
she
Charlotte.
Was sharing a room with you. She was going to see you naked one way or another.
Oh, yeah. It's just an excuse to see your boobs.
Who do you think would be the worst person to show up at your life drawing class? I reckon my dad. I don't think I could cope with
Donald
that
Trump.
At all.
Oh, definitely. Donald Trump. Oh.
I don't care what Donald Trump thinks of my boobs. I don't care.
Oh, no. I thought you meant to draw.
I thought you meant to draw.
I mean, if you're naked and somebody you know walks in, who would be the worst person you know to walk in?
Well, quite a hot guy from our college turned up once and I was like, okay. Well, I'm just sitting here quietly sweating. It's attractive. Not my biggest win.
Glistening pits.
Have you still got that drawing, Charlotte?
I don't know.
No, I think Charlotte was the gateway. I don't think she ever actually drew me. There was no sort of Titanic situation there.
Well, she just lured you in there
yeah.
and left you there.
To be fair, promise of money, brilliant. I'm there.
What I do remember is introducing to our room a toasty maker, and I seem to remember that completely revolutionised our breakfasts, lunches, and dinner.
Is there a plaque now at the college at the scene of that toasty maker? There should be.
Just bread, cheese, that was pretty much our staple.
I think the
diet.
Only thing that would prevent having a plaque there was that at the same time that we were living there, we were living on the Bailey, and across the road, the Harry Potter films were being made.
Yeah.
Which is, sadly, a marginally bigger deal than our university bedroom.
I don't believe that at all. That's not true.
Been walking up every day by the ding-dong of the Durham Cathedral. Oh.
I mean, looking back, it was lovely.
Yeah, it was. But at the time.
At the time, it was just very loud.
Hangover wasn't
and
great.
And look at you both now. So tell us, you're going to be playing... the Duchess of Cambridge in King Charles. Well, in fact, it's coming out soon. Yeah,
done, dusted, filmed. A lot of that was filmed up north, actually. We did a lot in Beverley Minster. So we did, and a lot of and it was did, filmed
oh,
around
that was
Leeds.
Lovely.
Poor Beverley.
Poor Beverley, yeah.
That must have been very uncomfortable.
It was painful.
What's Beverley Minster? Sorry. It's hashtag Australian.
So it's going to be the double for Westminster, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I think so. It's a very large church.
If for anybody who doesn't know what Charles III is, a TV adaptation of a play, which was sort of like a modern version of a history play, like one of Shakespeare's history plays, imagining what happens when the Queen has died and Charles takes over, and there are some unforeseen consequences of Charles being enlightened but not necessarily being quite savvy enough. And I saw the original, I was trying to remember where on earth it was, like the Almeida. And I suppose the thing that I wanted to know first off was that we've pretty much got the entire original cast, like the sadly late Tim Pigott Smith heading up as Charles.
Yeah.
Mm. But you're sort of almost like the only new addition taking over as Kate. How was that coming into such a close-knit cast?
Well, it was interesting because somebody, I was talking to a friend about it, saying, "Oh, I'm a bit nervous about joining this cast that have been touring. You're not touring, but they took it to Broadway, and you know they're going to be really close knit. They're going to just be really immersed in it." And she said to me, "Well, why not think about it in the same way that you know she's in the similar context to that Kate was in when she joined the family."
Oh my God, that's genius!
And I was like, "Oh yeah, brilliant!" So I kind of just used it like that. For all of about 3 hours, and then they were all so bloody friendly that that kind of wore off, and I was just, you know, Tim particularly and Ollie took me under their wing, and it was, you know, it was great. Everybody was just so lovely, and we had a rehearsal period, which always helps. So you don't really get a rehearsal period with things on TV or screen, really. So to have a rehearsal period, because of the language, is such a big, important part of it. So we had a rehearsal period, so we all got to know each other really well, and yeah, it was good.
Do you obsess about what the living person might think of the portrayal, or do you just have to just block that from your mind? Because it must be such a strange thing to play somebody who can watch it, and you haven't, I presume you haven't had any interaction with for the role.
No.
Yeah.
I think it does cross your mind because you know, you don't want to piss anybody off or hurt anybody's feelings. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who couldn't give less of a toss about stuff like that, but I do, and I don't want to feel that that she feels betrayed by it. But equally, you know, the way I had to try and get my head around it was the fact that this isn't real life. We're not portraying something that's actually happened yet. This is Mike Bartlett's
interpretation
of what might happen when the Queen passes. And I think that allows you to step back. It's Mike Bartlett's Kate, actually, and everybody else who's involved with creating that character. So we're creating, it's kind of Kate in a parallel universe. So I think she could perhaps watch that and feel that we're not trying to do a spitting image version of the characters. And so I think that they may be able to see the interesting slant on that.
So it's from what I can gather, it's somewhere between the Windsors, which is like a complete piss take of the royal family, and the Crown, which is like so kind of like, you know, like trying to be a record of history. Is it like an interpretation and played for irreverence, or?
Yeah, I mean, what did you get from
so
that?
So the blank verse, I think, is the real sort of thing that breaks it up. It just feels more like a lovely interpretation of something old with like real modern references.
Yeah.
But I have to say though, even though it's not spitting image, and obviously none of you are like doubles at all for your characters, there are moments when I was watching you, and I was like, Is it really weird to say that that looks exactly like a bit of Kate's chin? There were just like little bits where it just felt like the costume and the makeup yeah. and the hair and everything and you had all come together, and it was just like, yeah, I totally buy that this is Kate.
I think there just needs to be a flavour, really. Yeah. And I think that's what each of us have gone for, whether it's a vocal thing or a physical thing, that you just go for enough of a flavour that the audience can suspend their disbelief enough to go with the story and to go with the premise.
How was the accent?
Well, it was funny you ask that, because for me, it's always the first place that I start with a yeah. character, because being from Teesside, it's not a huge call for
James.
It's a bit of an outrage, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's normally the first place that I start, and you know, a big part of getting ready for this role was just watching, you know, mini bite after mini bite of YouTube videos.
Because that's the thing, because you don't actually hear her speak that much, which I find a real crying shame,
her
actually.
Speech for Heads Together, which was earlier this year, was, I think, the longest I've ever heard her speak.
Yeah. But it's quite interesting, because obviously even at that point, she's on public display, so then you're not ever seeing behind the scenes, Kate, and what she's like when she's not on.
Maybe she speaks like you.
Maybe she does. I mean, my mum is a Geordie, so
yeah.
Who knows? To begin with, I went along with making her try to do it exactly sounding like her. But in real life, she's actually more RP, received pronunciation, than William is. And the other guys weren't going quite as far with that, so it felt like it would stand out a bit. So I had to bring it back a little bit. So everything is, you've got to do it in the context of the other characters as well. So you've got to turn down your graphic.
Because William and Harry are almost quite blokey now.
Yeah.
For a long time, with particularly Kate and William, I've been thinking, what's their thing? What, you know, they don't really say anything. They don't stand for anything. But then now, coming out and sort of like championing mental health issues the way they have, I couldn't be more, I don't know if proud of them is the right word. They don't care if I'm proud of them or not. But I find it so inspiring and like awesome.
We all know people who've had mental health problems, and you know, I've had them for years, and it can be really difficult to talk about them when you're sort of going through them at the time. And I think it's just so important that people who are considered to be like the creme de la creme of celebrity and also sort of England can sort of come out and go, well, you know, there is that English stiff upper lip
and admit
thing.
To vulnerability. Yeah. I think it's incredible.
And because they reach such a huge audience of all different walks of life, that it just normalises the conversation, doesn't it? Which is what needs to happen, particularly if you know, mental health treatments in this country are going to, you know, it's going to be, what would you call it, like immediate first aid for that, because a lot of the time these issues are caught so far down the line.
Yes.
And it's a massive, you know, band-aid situation where it doesn't really work, the treatment. And now, hopefully, with these kind of issues being raised by important people, not important people, but people in the public
eye. Well, they are. They've got the, you know, some of the most famous people in the world, and when people say, what's the use of the royal family, you can look at something like this and go, this is an amazing use of the royal family.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
But I think that's what's interesting about them. I think that's what Mike Bartlett is kind of talking about in the play, is that is how they've evolved and they're moving and they're changing. That's what William and Kate are doing. They're making them more relevant and giving them the Queen's done amazing work for our country, but, you know, they're making deeper roots into making the royal family even more pertinent and relevant.
Okay, so now, Charlotte, we're going to dive much deeper into emotions now with this topic.
I'm ready.
We always debate the sort of things that come up in features meetings and we waste loads of time on. So we need you here to lay down the law and tell us what is and isn't okay.
Okay.
It's all down to you.
I'm ready.
Hey, is it okay to use the same emoji over and over again? Now, I can't even remember when there was no emojis. That was like 5 minutes ago, right?
Times. Well, we always had emoticons, didn't we? It was sort of like colon, bracket.
Oh, that's just too much work for the modern woman.
Exactly.
I like a picture face. What do you think? Have you got a favourite emoji?
It's always the poo.
Did not see that one coming.
I just love that
so northern
little Mr. Whippy with his little face.
Hey.
I
don't use him so much.
I use him all the time and over and over again. And I just think that it is A-OK to use the same emoji for a plethora of different reasons.
Oh, I love it.
And the poo it's just like works a fingerprint, isn't it? So
it's like levels. It's like a fingerprint. Yeah, she definitely sent that message. It's definitely no one's stolen Charlotte's phone. But I use the crying laughing one. But what's even worse is that I use it at the end of something that I think's funny that I've just said.
Yeah.
And then so then it's like laughing at your own jokes on a mobile. It can be done.
Part of the reason that people do end up using the same emoji over and over again is because you end up stuck on that first little board, which is your most recently used ones.
Yes. Yeah, and you just use those. By the time I'd scrolled through and found the right emoji to represent penis, for example, because me and my friends, we have like a WhatsApp group, and what we do is we sometimes get bored and then have fun trying to find the most appropriate emoji for whatever it is that we're talking about. So, you know, the aubergine.
And
clearly.
You just talk about penises a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, that's your right as a woman.
Who has time to scroll through all the boards? But I do like the dancing Spanish woman with her dress.
I love her.
She is fabulous.
I mean, I have no idea what you use.
I was more outraged than I care to admit when they changed the sassy lady. When they sort of changed her from sort of like really primping her hair to just sort of standing there with her hand like she's missing a cup of tea from it.
That?
Yeah, they did. Oh. It was a huge scandal. How did you miss this? What the one I don't understand, help me, which is the one that's like the real grimace, the one where it's not smiling, it's not frowning,
oh, straight
it's
teeth.
Going like that.
Yeah.
See, to me, that's frustration to me. But a lot of people use that as like a big grin, and I don't know where they're coming from.
There's a really nasty thing with that on Twitter, shock, 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 surprise, which is to use that to mean, oh, they've just said something like really embarrassing or useless, and I'm judging you in that really thin-lipped, humorless way.
Really?
I use it as a sarcastic, I'm really happy about this, but I'm really not sort of a thing. And I love, my other favourite one is the groaning face, which I have to use because I get the Jubilee line.
Oh, hang on a minute. Yeah.
I have to explain to everybody that I'm late again.
What's the groaning
face? I think it's one where it's sort of like lips down and eyes down and just sort of like a bit.
Oh, see, I'm
it's caught in the middle of a big bank of
this is why I use the same emoji over and over again, because you could just use poo for that, right?
In nice and
true.
See?
You're right, I didn't.
It just
occurred to me how versatile this was.
I can crumb our poo into any situation.
Well,
right?
You do have a baby as well, don't you? So
that's
very much
it works
on
for
the,
every day on
the brain.
On so many levels.
Yeah.
The last year's most popular emoji on Instagram was the red heart, which is very sweet.
Oh, really?
But there we go. That's the sort of irony. It's a bit hashtag bliss, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, it's boring. Yeah. I don't care about the heart.
No, bring back the aubergines.
Although I do like the face with the heart eyes.
Oh, yeah, I use that a lot. Normally for pictures of dogs.
Yeah.
So with my friends on this WhatsApp thing, they all said to me, Charlotte, you got to get with the times and like update your phone so that you get all the emojis, because all of their. Did you ever have a period of time? You want? Of course, you guys work at Glamour. Of course, you get all the right emojis.
I would literally be fired.
But
no, I'm always behind
for
the
so
times.
Long, like an alien in a box. So they'd send all these emojis, and I was why are you sending me aliens in a boxes? This doesn't mean they're like update your phone for God's sake.
Yeah.
So
what
I did.
Is this, like 2002?
So I did, and then I started sending all these emoji messages.
Still with the poo.
Still with the poo. And they're like, Charlotte, this makes no sense. I'm like, of course it does. They're like, okay, well, what does it mean? I mean, I said, well, you know, I'm happy, but then there's the girl who's dancing, which means I'm celebrating because you're coming over. And no, it doesn't make any sense.
And I'm
Charlotte.
Having a poo. I'm so happy that you're coming over. If you're enjoying Glamour, Hey, It's Okay, why don't you get involved? We would love to hear from you and your suggestions for our topics to debate. I don't know, maybe you and your friends have been chatting about something. Maybe you've seen something in Glamour magazine that sparked some conversation. Do get in touch at editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk with your suggestions, and you never know, we may well be debating them very soon.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare,
a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We are all ladies, and proper ladies at that, work at Glamour and glamorous television shows and things like that. So I'm sure we're going to all agree, is it okay to never wear matching underwear? Surely you do, ladies.
Well, sometimes it's the same colour.
I don't even remember what I put on an hour ago.
No, I don't think I have. Never wear matching underwear.
And when is the tipping point? Because like during my 20s, when I was arguably the poorest I've ever been in my life.
This is so true.
I spent all my time buying matching underwear because I was convinced that that was a sign that I was a functioning human.
Exactly. And then I never wore it and it sat there for like a special occasion and it never got worn because I was like, the special occasion hasn't arisen yet. It's just going to sit. And then it just sits there. Then you grow out of it because...
Do you know what winds me up about matching underwear is it's always sort of fancy fabrics, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't. So you will wear like... And I will sometimes. So I'll wear the bra and the knicker set. But of course, the knickers need washing more than the bra. So then you've got a laundry full of smalls that need hand washing. That with all your mismatched bras, and I, you know, sometimes...
And they're all covered in, like, lace, so they'll get grey in about two bloody seconds.
I mean, you can't wear them over anything sheer, because then the lace gets poked through.
But sometimes those knickers, I'm going to tell everybody, will sit in the washing basket, because they're hand-washed for, like, 3 months.
Yeah,
who can be asked to do that?
Easy.
But then, how many times will you wear a bra before you wash it? I'm going to be really honest.
Oh, God, that was a sideswipe, Joe. I'm not prepared for that question.
No.
I have to say, I do it a lot more now since I discovered, God, this is so boring, but a really,
it's
really good
boring
washing liquid. I went to Rigby and Pella a while ago. Thanks, very fancy.
God, you're so fancy.
And, you know, really fancy.
I don't think I've ever been to Rigby and Pella.
I just wanted to be fitting properly. I was fed up with wearing like bras that didn't fit. And I actually ended up coming out feeling as though I'd had like surgery because my new bras were so substantially huger in size than what I'd been wearing. But the main thing I came away with, they still look exactly the same, was this thing called soak. And you literally stub a capsule of it in the sink.
I thought you said this thing called soap.
I was so excited to hear about this amazing new revelation and cleaning.
Blimey,
but
that explains
a lot. Shove it in the sink and then hang it up and leave it to dry. And it's the laziest thing.
But do you use one of those fancy little bags that you meant to put your under?
I do. Yeah,
you
I do.
Do?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're posh.
Yeah, I know. You know, when you get to a certain age, Charlotte, is the law. You've got to go to Lakeland at least once a year
and put
stock up on things like that.
And what do you put in that?
I put my smalls in there.
Your
and I also
and your bras.
I recently did discover the hand washing cycle on the machine. That was like,
I
was felt so grown up when that happened.
It doesn't work. It still shrinks everything.
Really?
Yeah. This is literally just it. Cap full of this stuff in the sink, leave it, and hang it up.
And did you, I mean, my mother never said to me, it seems, because she's Australian, it seems to be like an English thing that, you know, but what if you get hit by a bus? I mean,
I'd be really upset.
Do you think that would be
not
like,
my problem anymore?
I'm sorry, we can't treat this woman. Her knickers are not the same colour as her bra. That might happen. I don't know. You don't know.
Is your mum kind of hoping that like the ambulance guy is going to like see her underwear and go, whoa?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's how mothers are just thinking it's an opportunity to meet a guy, you know, and you want to really impress them. I don't know.
Did you get posh underwear for your wedding?
Oh, God. I can't remember.
Because this is where I confess. I just borrowed a pair of my husband's pants. Because then I thought, something borrowed, something blue. At that point, I didn't want to spend like 50, 70,
well,
God
that's
knows
the thing.
How many pounds on a pair
it's
of
because
knickers.
Hardly anyone sees it. It just, that and gym gear, it just really bums me out to spend money on it.
Yeah, gym gear.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
No.
You've got to have the baggy gym wear, otherwise you can then see, you know.
It's got to be baggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got to be at least 10 years old. Otherwise, I don't like looking like one of those people in the gym who's just walked out of an Olivia Newton-John video. Do you know what I mean? I just don't.
Yeah.
I feel really self-conscious. I'd much
would
rather
kind of
go
like
in
to
rags.
Be that person, though. That sounds pretty cool.
No, because
celebration emoji.
It's not a good look if you're sort of like in your banging fluoro green lycra and then you pass out on the treadmill. You sort of want it. You need to live the brand.
You need
if you're
to
gonna,
look like you're not taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
So when you do pass out, it's all right.
Ironically, the gym is actually the one place where I think matching underwear is something that I might like, just because everybody is now wearing really cool sports bras and like these amazing vests, and then their tights all look really good, and I'm wearing some old crap that I've had for about 6 years.
But you don't. You need nice, breathable, sensible cotton for the gym.
Thanks, Mum.
You don't need hideous sweaty lace at the gym. You don't need
God, imagine.
You don't need to add a yeast infection to all your list of problems.
Yummy.
I haven't even mastered downward dog yet. Bloody hell.
Yeah, I know. So I'm saying, I don't know who made the rule about matching underwear. It looks nice in my drawer. It hardly ever gets a day out.
I think they need to design like super nice bras, but then just have a variation of not so quite expensive pants that go with them. So then you can buy like three or four pairs.
Charlotte,
of pants.
Do you want to go into business together?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is going to happen.
See, and then we don't have
it's
this.
It's
going like,
to be cotton. It's going to have a poo emoji printed on the
and
back.
And I'll wash them all in the sink.
Yeah.
And then you can have no yeast infection here written on the front.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So just in case Kat and I forget when we're going to the gym, this not to wear
fine.
Our lazy posh underwear.
This time next year, Rodders, we'll be millionaires. Can't wait. Okay, everybody. I know that every week more and more of you are joining in and listening to the conversation on Hey, It's Okay. And we are loving seeing your reviews on iTunes. So please do keep them coming in. And as promised, from time to time, if you leave a review, you might end up getting a little prize. And today's lucky winner is Ellen Cofe. I hope I'm saying that right, Ellen. C-O-F-E. Ellen Cofe, I love your review. I've just found these podcasts and have realized, yes, it's okay. I'm okay, and it's probably going to be okay. I've laughed and had a little cry. I've run, I've walked, and I've sat in traffic with you and loved every minute. I've even gone out and bought and rediscovered my love for a real live magazine. I hope you mean Glamour when you say that. In my hand and not on a screen. But most of all, yes, Claudia, Rupert Campbell Black, I was gutted too. You'll have to mine through the archives. It's something from our sexiest men one, I think. Probably. Thank you. No, thank you, Ellen. If you email us at editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk, you will be getting a present handpicked by me. Do keep them coming in. All right. Now, I know that when you saw this topic, Charlotte Riley, you pretty much leapt out of your skin. And said, I want to talk about this. Is it okay to not want to travel the world? I feel like I'm going to cede the floor to you. I need to hear your thoughts.
Oh my God. Do you know what? I have lived with the shame of not wanting to travel anywhere.
You feel shame about it?
Oh my God. I felt, I used to feel terrible about the fact that everybody was talking about wanting to go to Australia and wanting to go to China and wanting to explore Cuba and wanting to just go to these far out places and see, you know, it's kind of a thing, isn't it? That it's like as a human being, one of the simple aspects of being human is going to other countries, seeing other cultures, meeting other human beings. And it's kind of why people work so that they can take time off and then travel. I don't want to travel. I have no interest, zero interest in traveling. And like, this is not something I'm proud about. It's literally, you're kind of like maybe the second and third people that I've ever talked to about this, but I feel quite good about getting it off my chest actually. And I just think there's probably other people like me out there.
Oh,
and do you
totally.
Know what? It's okay to want to leave.
I have to confess, I am one of those
Are
other people.
Really?
Honestly,
that actually
not
really surprises
have you down
me.
As that.
Yeah. Really don't. Yeah. I think it was because I never wanted to like travel around the world and have a gap year or something.
No, me neither.
I think because I was doing languages at university and I wasn't quite really good enough at them yet, and I was like, I barely looked at France and I barely like set foot in Italy, so it feels a bit ambitious to go, you know what guys,
I'm going
Bombay!
To
and also I think there's the other boring reason, which is that I'm very pale, very redhead, and the minute I set foot anywhere exciting, I'm basically stuck inside with air conditioning and I can't enjoy it.
And I hate to bring it back to poo again, but I'm one of those people that...
You don't hate to at all.
I no, I don't. No. But I always get sick. Like, I go somewhere, I eat food, I get sick, I get diarrhea. I mean, I'm out for the first week. I hate jet lag. You get on a plane, everybody's like, yeah, let's just go to Thailand for like... Not everybody, but some people are like, why would you go somewhere where you get jet lag for a holiday? That makes no sense to me.
But if you go for a long time.
No, but you don't. Who gets really to go for a long
That's
time?
That's the thing.
I mean, it's so funny.
You get jet lag for a week. You have like a week of like, yeah, this is nice. And you come home, then you have more jet lag and then you're tired again.
When
why
you're
traveling, you
it's more like you're flicking through the pages of something. You don't
exactly.
Like, my husband and I went on a road trip for our honeymoon last year and we went through California and it was lovely, and originally we were going to do like all of the United States until we remembered that they're huge. And actually, even doing California, and thinking to ourselves, okay, well, we've broken this down, we'll be able to really get to know it and everything. It turns out the California is also fucking enormous.
Yeah.
And I, after a while, I was just like, I'm actually quite pissed off because I want to, this is so beautiful, but I want to be able to get to know each of these places more, but we can't because we've got to go and get married in Vegas.
So your solution is not to go to any of them.
Yeah. None of these places.
Yeah. Then you don't get disappointed.
The thing is, it's so weird to hear, and not judging at all. It's like, this is your truth and you own it, ladies. I was like, no judgment in the Hey, It's Okay podcast. But I'm from Australia and I grew up like, you know, just feeling so cut off from the rest of the world and so like I must be missing out on something. So it has never occurred to me to not to travel. And I don't want to misrepresent myself. I'm certainly I haven't been to every exotic locale that you can think of. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like even the jet lag and even the diarrhea and things like that are sometimes just part of all the war stories to come back and
and you know,
I know it's like a badge, it's like a Girl Scout badge.
I am one of those even more hideous people who then when I'm forced to go somewhere I absolutely love it and then I've complained about going, I don't want to go, but the thing is that I have managed to convince the people that I've ever been traveling with, can we not do museums and the touristy
stuff?
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
and then it's like, okay, great, we have a pact. We're not doing museums. That's great. And then I have a good time.
But I mean, when I was backpacking, you know, I definitely reached my church quota.
I mean, who cares? And then you churches, take a picture in front of a church that you never look at again.
They're beautiful, but it does get to the point where you've seen one sort of saint strung up on a stained glass window. You've kind of seen them all.
That's it.
I think. Sorry, baby Jesus.
Big fan of spending longer periods of time in a place.
Yes,
I think.
I completely agree.
Where you get to settle in. But traveling, I don't want to go and find myself like wandering around like a beach
aimlessly.
And then wandering somewhere else.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want to be able to like put down my bags and settle in for a bit and try and get under the skin of a place.
The best
times
I've ever had traveling is when I've like worked in a place, because then you have time to kind of just discover all the little nuances of a place, rather than being, I'm going to go somewhere for 2 weeks and then I hate the pressure, like the pressure. I've got to say that because I'm only ever going to get to go there once and then I've got to find. I just think that I did this in a previous life. That's what I did traveling in a previous life and this life, I'm like, I'm done.
I'm fascinated with the, you know, the apologetic tone. I think it's very interesting. It is something that we're all supposed to want to do.
Yeah.
I think the shame thing I understand because it's almost like admitting that you're not a curious person,
which is not
the case at all. And I think there are there's one place in the world that I have been dying to go to but just haven't got around to because I'm lazy and not organized enough and also have to get on a long plane. New Zealand I would love to go to.
Yes, me too.
Probably because it's almost exactly like England, rather tragically. But there's this place in the North Island called Napier, which is an Art Deco town, and every year they have a huge Art Deco festival. And I just love the idea of that, partly because it feels a little bit like walking into like Kiwi Gilmore Girls or something.
Yeah.
But that would be nice.
I want to go to New Zealand, and I've just finished reading that book, Living Danishly. And she talks about Denmark. I just want to go to Denmark.
I'm just thinking about bacon
pastry.
Now.
Yeah,
so you do want to travel the world.
I do.
Oh,
but
my
I just
God.
Only like being like, if I'm, you know, I like these
but with
ideas.
Purpose.
Am I ever going to do it?
Yeah. I mean, what I am with you on, I mean, how hateful are airports these days?
Oh.
There's just, it's the seventh circle of hell every time. And especially when you go to America, it now takes you an average of 2 hours to get out of the airport when you arrive in America, just because of the security systems and the double fingerprinting and all this sort of thing.
Feeling really good about my trip to Vegas next week.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but I'm going to get under the skin of Vegas.
You
definitely need to psychologically prepare, because you do that long flight and you think, brilliant, I'm here. And then it takes hours to get out of the airport in America. Sorry, I love you, America. I love coming to America, but that's...
And then people who travel with children, they're like, let's just go somewhere like fun with the kids that's like 6 hours away or something. Why just go to Cornwall?
And that's also six flipping hours away.
You've got a baby.
A
have you done
you no
you've
definitely not traveling further than like 2 hours.
Ooh, a car journey with a baby to Cornwall, that's
I think it seems to be the case that when they are tiny they're actually more portable.
Well, that's what
so
everybody
my friend
says.
My friend took my goddaughter to Colombia for like 6 weeks, and she basically just snoozed the entire way because she was Minnie.
Wait, how old's your baby?
18 months.
Wait, a little bit older, wait, and then it'll be the most inconvenient time that child says, I need a poo.
Yeah.
And then just to come back to your favourite subject, but you know,
well, there we go.
You'll be excited and you'll get to send someone an emoji text explaining how you had to stop for a poo on the motorway somewhere.
I just literally
on the motorway.
Yeah. I just basically feel that I'm admitting that I'm a big fat scaredy cat about going places. That's why I feel like, oh my God, I'm not sharing this with anybody. Why I've decided to share this to them.
What about if we agree in that case that it's okay to do either, but it's particularly okay if you want to go to places,
yes,
and not necessarily just
do it.
Travel.
And it's okay to just feel the way you feel about a subject, I think.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like I got a lot off my chest.
It's like it all, emotions run high in the pod cupboard, but we always get there in the end. Thank you so much, Charlotte Riley. And please tell us when we can see King Charles III. Out in May on Channel
2.
On BBC Two. Thank you. We got there in the end. BBC Two in May. Thank you so much, Anna Cat Brown.
Guys. Hello. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you
Hello.
Very Goodbye. Much for listening to Hey It's Okay. Sorry about all the poo talk. We won't invite her back.
We're not sorry about it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.